Chapter 63. Amal sat down opposite Michael. He looked exactly as Michael remembered him, down to the clothes. In fact, he looked several years younger than Michael.
"Hey, kiddo,"
Amal grinned. Michael suddenly became acutely aware of his arm. Did his grandfather know what had happened? Amal nodded at Michael's maroon envelope on the table and winked. Reaching into his own blazer pocket, he pulled out a matching envelope, albeit with fewer creases and no earth stains. He placed it down on the table and slid it across halfway, leaving his hand lingering on the top. Michael cottoned on and tentatively slid his envelope forward. Amal smiled and lifted his hand. Cautiously, like two fencers circling one another, they each took the other's envelope. His grandfather was faster, of course, having two hands to open the envelope. Amal nodded sadly as he read the letter, before replacing it in the envelope with a sigh. Using his teeth as a clamp, Michael prized Amal's envelope open and wrestled the letter out. His mouth slackened, crestfallen. Beneath the immaculately engraved title Regrets were three bullet points. All of them were bare. Not a single other word graced the page.
"What's this?"
asked Michael, waving the letter.
"It's what you deserve, my boy," said Amal.
Michael shook his head angrily. He felt tricked, embarrassed at what he'd shared. Tears filled his eyes as he read Amal's pitying expression, and the true meaning of his grandfather's words sank in.
"Granddad, that list is just the tip of the iceberg. If you knew the things that I'd done..."
Michael trailed off, choking on his own words. Amal smiled at him softly, then rose from his chair, stepping to the door.
"Come with me, my boy."
A gust of cool air rushed in as Amal opened the door. Michael could see the rain lashing down, but the drops were falling silently. His grandfather handed Michael the yellow umbrella, then pulled his hood up. With a glimmer in his eye, he tucked Michael's letter away, then set off into the gray. Michael struggled to keep the umbrella up against the lashing rain. The field seemed infinite and barren, save for a silhouette up ahead. Through the thick drizzle emerged a doorway, a single standalone door in a thin white frame surrounded by grass in all directions. In the distance, a car engine revved aggressively. He cast his eyes around, but there was nothing but gray cloud and sheets of rain. A flash of black caught his eye. Something was speeding across the field, getting louder.
"We should probably hurry," said Amal.
His reassuring smile was at odds with the firmness of his tone. A horn blared out. The black object in the distance was getting closer, quickly. A second engine joined the melee. An orange car was coming towards them from the opposite direction, some way off. A shimmering red beacon appeared through the drizzle above the doorway. Michael tilted the umbrella for a better look, allowing the rain to lash him in the process. A traffic signal was right beside the doorway, and it was fixed on red, pointing towards the black car. The black car seemed unperturbed. It was accelerating towards the interchange at breakneck speed. Meanwhile, the orange car was closing in from the perpendicular direction with seemingly no knowledge of the other vehicle. The engines were bearing down upon Michael and Amal, creating a deafening racket.
"This way!"
cried Amal. He stepped inside, vanishing instantly as wind slammed the door shut behind him. Michael cried out for Amal's help, hobbling as fast as his ancient joints would allow. The uneven grass snagged his feet, tripping him with every step. The wind seized Michael's umbrella, hauling him backwards until he released it. The yellow accessory disappeared across the field into the grayness beyond. Both blaring cars were closing in, now just a stone's throw away. The black car could surely see the red signal by now, yet it was getting faster. Michael grabbed the soaking door handle with his only arm. As he turned the handle, he glanced sideways at the speeding vehicle. As Michael locked eyes with the driver, his heart froze. Barreling toward him was his 18-year-old self. His eyes widened with disbelief as he processed the screaming, tearful, wheel-thumping version of his youth. Time seemed to slow as both vehicles careened towards each other, convening on the doorway with horns blaring and engines screaming. Without warning, the door swung inward, and two strong hands seized Michael, hauling him inside. Metal crunched with a deafening boom. Other cars skidded and screeched across the ether. Pedestrians screamed. Shards of glass and steel sliced their way through the thundering rain, which was suddenly as loud as the engines. Michael cried out as debris flew towards him. A rushing wind was growing louder, filling his ears. No sooner had he cleared the doorway than the door slammed shut, cloaking Michael in silence. Michael and Amal slammed into the ground, both groaning with the impact. Amal was first up, dusting himself down before helping Michael to his feet. A vast warehouse greeted Michael's eyes. Furnaces blazed, powering huge pistons. All around, elderly women and men were smelting, cutting, and welding hunks of metal at various stations. The clatter of hammers and saws was deafening.
"All in good time. Come," smiled Amal.
Michael followed his grandfather across the factory floor. A group of workers were huddled around a scaffold. Suspended from the frame was the stripped-back skeleton of an automaton. A gray-haired woman in a lab coat was on the stepladder beside it, twisting a screwdriver in its shoulder socket, while others affixed gleaming new plates to its feet and ankles, covering up the intricate mechanical circuitry. Leaving the warehouse behind, the pair entered a smaller chamber. Stacks of yellow envelopes were piled on the side. An automaton was shoveling them into an incinerator, which was powering a great steam turbine that appeared to be generating an electrical current through a huge tank of dark green-blue liquid. Amal pressed on, leading them into a room with a ceiling so low they had to stoop. Whispers emanated from a dip where the floor fell away. Amal beckoned onward, crawling to the edge of the floor. Michael's stomach churned as he took in the scale of the drop. They were on a shelf with no rail, staring into a cylindrical chamber. Light streamed in from the skylights by their heads. Michael was utterly baffled. He'd lost all sense of whether they were underground, outside, or, as now seemed to be the case, somewhere at the top of the ministry building again. In the center of the chamber was a structure so breathtaking in its scale, Michael almost laughed. A mountain of maroon envelopes reached up from the distant ground to the heights of the vast chamber, stopping just short of the ceiling. Some looked old and a little faded from the light, while others looked brand new and crisp. At the base of the pile, way down below, Michael could make out two figures scavenging among the pile. He recognized their uniforms. They were scholars. Each had a briefcase with them. They were examining letters to harvest. Michael had no idea what was guiding their selections. None of the envelopes had information written on the outside, but perhaps the scholars could detect things he couldn't. Amal pulled Michael's maroon envelope from his anorak. Michael copied, retrieving his grandfather's cleaner envelope from his blazer pocket.
"What does it say?" said Amal with a nod.
Michael teased the letter out, examining the page again.
"Nothing. It's blank,"
he shrugged.
"You didn't write anything, or you have no regrets?"
Amal held up his grandson's letter. Michael stared mournfully at his greatest regrets.
"To me, yours looks blank too," smiled Amal.
"What are you saying?"
"It's time to let go."
He slid Michael's letter across the wooden floor, and the pair swapped back. Amal stared at his own list for a long moment, and a tear trickled down his cheek. Closing his eyes, he took a deep breath, then stared at the page once again. Amal smiled to himself with an accepting huff and stuffed the letter back into the envelope. He folded his arms and tapped the maroon package against the wooden lip restively while watching the scholar sifting below. Michael turned to his own letter and felt a wave of guilt. Amal couldn't expect him to just accept the awful things he'd done. He looked at his grandfather sorrowfully.
"Did you know you're on here, Granddad?"
Amal raised a curious eyebrow and chuckled in astonishment.
"Then that makes two of us."
Michael was stunned.
"I'm on your list, but for what?"
His grandfather smiled at him softly.
"There was a time for those conversations, dear boy, and it's long gone. We are not here to talk about the past. We are here to lay it to rest."
Michael stared at the document, and his eyes lingered on Kelsey's name. His heart panged as he recalled all the times he'd lied, not listened, or acted impulsively in his dogged pursuit of preserving what was already there. Tears rolled down his cheeks as he comprehended the scale of his failures to his family, the time he'd wasted. The letter trembled in his hand. Michael sank to his knees as the guilt consumed him, and he hunched over, weeping. Amal held him, tenderly, then helped Michael to his knees. Pressing the letter to Michael's chest, Amal edged back and gave him an encouraging nod. Michael closed his eyes and steadied his breathing, forcing himself to stem the flow of tears. He thought about all he'd done in his life and how it had led him to this moment. As his breathing steadied, a heavy calm settled over him. Sniffing, he opened his eyes and blinked the tears away. His eyes widened as they fell on his page of regrets. The writing was gone.
"It's blank. My words have gone. Did you switch them?"
gasped Michael.
"It means you're ready to let go," smiled Amal.
With Michael's letter resealed in its envelope, the two men knelt side by side, facing over the sheer edge. Together, they tossed their red slips onto the great mountain below. Michael's landed on the side, dislodging several others, which all tumbled down in an avalanche of maroon. He tried to keep track of which was his, but it vanished among the tumbling pile. Slightly higher up, Amal's appeared to have settled on a ledge, balancing neatly on its side. The scholars below had gone. The only sound in the room was the rustle of settling envelopes and Michael's wheezing lungs. His grandfather took him by the arm and led him through a corridor to a muted green doorway. It had the same chipped paintwork and rusty metal frame as the chair Michael had sat on earlier.
"What now?"
said Michael as they neared the threshold. His grandfather smiled at him with a twinkle in his eye.
"Now, we meet the others."
The end. Thank you for listening to this production of Finality. Discover what happened to Kelsey all those years ago. Her life was unique, and so too was her passage from it. Get Kelsey's moving postscript for free. Available at marcusmartinauthor.com/PS.